Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents William W. Johnstone's Blood Valley, featuring Cotton Pickens. Narrated by Ken Jackson. With performances by David Coyne, Eric Messner, Karen Novak, Ren Casey, James Keegan, Tracy Lynn Oliveira, Christopher Graybill, Dylan Lynch, Gary Tells, Michael John Casey, Alyssa Wilmoth, Richard Rowan, Tim Carlin, Mort Shelby, Bradley Smith, James Konacek, Evan Casey, Tim Pabone, Patrick Bussink, Nanette Savard, Daniel Sontag, Jeff Allen, Yasmin Twazan, Scott McCormick, Anastasia Wilson, Thomas Keegan, and Terrence Aselford. Blood Valley 5, Wyoming Slaughter.
Oh, the coming new year harbored no joy in doubtful Wyoming. In fact, it evoked dyspepsia in more than half the businessmen in town and sickened the rest. A certain element was rejoicing as that fateful day approached, but the rest were plunged into a gloom so heavy it seemed to suffocate the whole town. There was anger, too. Talk of rebellion. Talk of insurrection. Talk of hanging a few earnest citizens, and most shocking of all, talk of lynching a dozen or more of the most respectable ladies in town, including a minister's wife and a midwife and the spouses of some of the most prominent businessmen in Puma County, Wyoming. It was a mess, all right, and one that I hadn't the faintest notion how to solve. In fact, I knew it couldn't be solved. The county was likely to engage in civil war and wouldn't stop the bloodletting until all sides were massacred. What's more, I had no help. Most of my own deputies had quit on this occasion. They said they'd sooner take a hike or hand in their badge than support me. So I would be entirely on my own, with no allies, and only one thing in my favor. I had sworn to uphold the law, and I'd do my blasted best to uphold it. I was sorry I'd croak so young, but that couldn't be helped. I was doomed, and they'd mutter a few words over me and plant me in the doubtful cemetery, where it was said the fate of those who rested there was plain doubtful, and Puma County would select another sheriff to be led to the slaughter. Still, the fateful hour of midnight, December 31, or rather 1201, of the following year drew closer and closer, and with it, talk of revolution. Ranchers were threatening to leave the county. Cowboys were threatening to quit and find work elsewhere. Certain businesses in town were threatening to shoot me, the sheriff, if I set foot on their property any time after 1 minute beyond midnight, January 1. This problem was beyond the reach of law enforcement. It sort of hung there during the Christmas season, just dangled there, making people irritable and pessimistic. Some store owners had giant sales, unloading everything they could push out the door before the start of the year. But other store owners thought things would be wonderful. They'd get much more trade in the new year than they had had before. But I'm stubborn, and that'll see a man through when nothing else works. If I was still alive that midnight, I'd stand my ground as best I could and do what the law required me to do, which was to shut down every saloon in Doubtful, 17 in all, right then and there, and forever. 1 minute after midnight, the first of the year, Puma County would go dry. Dry. It was awful to think about. I didn't favor the law itself, but there it was, and my sworn duty was to enforce it. 17 saloons would shut down, Six cat houses with bars in them would have to scale back. Six restaurants that served spirituous drinks would be in trouble. The Hotel Doubtful, home to whiskey drummers and barbed wire salesmen, would fold. The ranch trade that Doubtful depended on would head for other county seats. This was serious stuff. They might as well just shut down Doubtful and let the dried leaves whirl through what was once a thriving little city. It all began when Wyoming gave women the right to vote. That was the worst mistake Wyoming ever made. But few males understood all of it. Women had another trick or two in mind, which was temperance and drying out the wettest state in the nation. It was all so quiet that no red-blooded male knew a thing about it. First thing those ladies did was to form themselves into the Women's Temperance Union. They were marching around with signs that said, "Lips that touch liquor will never touch mine." Given the way some of them looked, that was a pretty good proposition, but a man couldn't say that very loud. Next, anyone knew, the temperance gals had set to work on their husbands and recruited them into the cause, on pain of marital troubles that no man wants to get into. So pretty quick, there were all sorts of respectable businessmen who were being supported by the Women's Temperance Union and running for any office that was open to them. And that's how three Pima County supervisors got themselves elected, and no one quite saw it coming. But there they were, put into office that November by their temperance wives, and everything went downhill from there. These new supervisors had hardly gotten themselves into office when they voted to go dry. That's how it would be. Beginning January 1, the sale or possession of spirituous drink, including wine, beer, and harder stuff, would be prohibited. And every place purveying illicit goods was to be shut down. And I, Sheriff Cotton Pickens, the law in Pima County, was to do the job. It sure wasn't a job that I wanted. But that's what letting women vote had come to. Pima County would be as dry as the Sahara. It hung over me like a guillotine blade. I thought about resigning, but decided I was too bullheaded to do that. So I made the rounds, trying to find some way out. The supervisor who had pushed hardest for prohibition, one Amos W. Grosbeak, offered no quarter.
"It's the law, boy. You're going to enforce it to the hilt, just as you're sworn to do. We're going dry. Not just dry, but parched. We're going to be Wyoming desert. That's the West for you. Someone wants to fuddle his head with spirits, let him go to wild Nebraska or someplace like that. It'll be a better world. No more drunken brawls in Doubtful. No more vice, just peace and prosperity. Your jail will be empty. And once them nasty saloons are shuttered, you can sit back and play a harmonica and sing gospel songs and enjoy the fishing. You're going to do it. Shut 17 saloons for starters, January 1, and the rest of it, the bordellos and restaurants, the next day. The saloons must be padlocked. The bars in the other places, locked. Or just close down the restaurants. No one should eat out anyway. We should all dine at our own tables in our own cottages."
Grosbeak was young and respectable, and clipped the abundant black hair in his nostrils, and waxed his mustache, and kept his fingernails clean. Doubtful had hardly known anyone with clean fingernails until Amos W. Grosbeak and his wife Eve showed up. She was the president of the Women's Temperance Union, and even her toenails were clean. At least, most of Doubtful believed that was so. You just couldn't have a president of the WTU with dirty toenails.
"Well, sir, I don't have a kitchen table to eat at."
"Well, you can remedy that by buying one."
He owned the town's furniture store and was always alert to possibilities. Having got my marching orders from the supervisors of Pima County, I passed them along to my last remaining deputy.
"Rusty, you and me, we're going to shut down the saloons starting at midnight the 1st.
"It ain't going to be we, Sheriff. It's going to be you alone. I'm resigning at 11:59 the evening of December 31st, and that's not negotiable unless the dry law's repealed. I aim to live, and I'm just bullet fodder if I keep the badge."
Well, that didn't bode well. The only good thing about it is that I wouldn't have to listen to Rusty practice bugle calls in the jail cell half the night. Bugling was his new hobby. But if things were bad in the courthouse and the sheriff's office, they were worse down on Saloon Road. where most of the thirst parlors catered to the ranching crowd. I still patrolled there each evening, but the hostility was palpable. I stopped to say hello to my old friend, Sammy Upward, who owned the Last Chance Saloon. But now, Upward was all frost.
How's it going, Sammy?
All I got back was a blower.
Ain't so good, I suppose. You got plans after you close?
Upward leaned forward.
Sheriff, why don't you just get out of here?
Well, seems to me a feller could set up shop across the county line, hire a few wagons to take the bar to a place where it's wet.
Didn't I just tell you to get out of here?
Well, my ma used to say a person shouldn't be asked more than once.
I eyed the surly crowd, rank now with smoldering hatred for the man who would enforce the dry laws in a few days.
Cotton, don't try to enforce that law. You could get hurt.
I know that. A feller's got no choice. I got a duty to do, and I won't cut and run.
Just resign, Cotton. Just quit.
You know something I don't?
Upward stared a long while.
Yeah, just quit. That's all I'm going to tell you. If you don't, you'll wish you had. And I wish you had.
Well, that was pretty plain.
Something cooking for New Year's Eve, Sammy?
The barkeep rubbed his hands on his grimy apron. The saloon had turned real quiet. There were a dozen cowboys from various ranches listening and waiting. It was like all the music stopped, but there wasn't any music. Sammy leaned over the bar, wanting to say it real low so all those spectators wouldn't hear a word of it.
Cotton, this bar ain't closing. None of the other places are closing. None of the eateries is closing. None of the ladies in the sporting houses is gonna quit pouring for their customers. That's the way it's gonna be, law or no law. Next year, the year after, 10 years after that.
He eyed me.
And not even the state militia will change a thing. You hear me?
No, Sammy, I kinda didn't hear it. And I didn't hear nothing coming out of your mouth.
Have one on the house, Cotton.
That was a safe bet. I didn't touch a drop on the job.
Guess I'll be on my way, Sammy.
December was cold and doubtful, and dark, too. The little county seat lay quietly, shivering in the relentless winds, a few lamps in windows supplying the only light. I thought a little bit about Christmas, but the holiday had been forgotten this time around. None of those fellas in that saloon were thinking about it, and not in any other saloon either. Up ahead, on Courthouse Square, was the courthouse, and on the square, the sheriff's office. A lamp burned in that window. Rusty would be in there, at least for a few more days. It would be a temptation to hang up my hat and unpin the badge. That would be the safe way, and it would leave doubtful unprotected. Good people in their homes and shops needed someone to watch over them, and if I quit and played it safe, the whole town would be naked. There were some bad ones in those saloons, the sort who'd see all the troubles on New Year's Eve as a big chance to loot a store or rob a bank or steal anything they could.
Ma, you always told me I was a little thick between the ears. I guess I'd better stick her out.
Well, it sure was a head-scratcher. All those buzzards in the saloon were simply going to say no to going dry and defy anyone to do anything about it. I got through fifth grade arithmetic, and I knew that one sheriff going against 30 or 40 angry men in every saloon wasn't very good odds. Puma County was plain awesome when it came to drinking. It took half the distilleries in the country to keep Puma County properly lubricated and cheerful. It'd take more bullets than I had in my sheriff's office to clean out all that booze. But maybe shotguns would do it. Even birdshot would wipe a swath through every back bar in town. A feller could dry up a saloon with a dozen shotgun blasts and a few six-gun shots into the kegs. It sure was a mournful thought. But that seemed the best deal. Shotguns at the ready, 20 men could dry up Doubtful Wyoming faster than a trip to a 50-cent cat house. But before it was over, there'd be a few bodies, too. And that wasn't very enticing for a man sworn to keep the peace. It didn't matter who was at fault. Saloon men vowing to defy the law, or the cabal of supervisors and their prissy wives who thought to force their notions on everyone else. I scratched my head some more, but nothing else came to mind. I'd lived to 24 years, but this was the first time I dealt with anything like this. Times sure were changing. The frontier was vanishing, and settlers were settling. I sure couldn't think of anything that might work. So the next step was to get myself a good posse. I thought I'd start with Supervisor Amos W. Grosby, get the names of them fellers who supported the Big Dry, as everyone was calling it, and line them up for the New Year's Eve Fandango. I trudged through a wintry afternoon, with the air mean and northerly, and entered the courthouse, which was almost as cold as outside. That's how justice was, cold and mean. A warm courthouse would upset everyone's notion of how the world worked. Sure enough, there was Grosbeak and his warren, plenty warm from a cast iron coal stove.
Yes, what do you want?
Need to talk about going dry.
Well, be quick about it. I've got to hang this mistletoe.
He eyed me.
Here I was, full of Christmas, and you walked in. I guess I'll put up the mistletoe later.
I ain't very kissable. That was the wrong thing to say.
You have 10 seconds.
I'll make it a posse for New Year's Eve. That's the only way I'm gonna shut down the town and turn out the lights. My last deputy is quitting on me at midnight, and I can't do it alone.
Posse? Why a posse?
Because no one's got any intention of shutting down, law or no law. They're gonna keep right on a-going, and they've told me if I mess with them, they'll bury me. Amos W. Grosbeak frowned.
I really should hang the mistletoe. It's time to sing carols and crank up the holidays and pour some wassail punch.
What's that?
Why, a little beverage flavored with spices, good health, and good cheer.
Sounds like good booze to me.
It was the wrong thing to say.
Well, I expect you to do the job.
I need a posse. I need the names of all those fellers who feel real strong about us going dry around here. All them businessmen who wanted it. I'll deputize them for the posse. Thought I'd start with you. I found it in the books. I can make a posse man out of anyone I want, no matter whether they want it. Thought I'd swear you in.
Me? I'm a public servant. I'm exempt from everything.
You read me where you're exempt, all right?
Forget it, Sheriff. You can remove my name from your list. You can recruit plenty of men for the task, but I will be in my snug home enjoying a quiet and prayerful welcoming of the new year.
I need about 20 men with shotguns and a lot of birdshot. I'll give them barkeeps a little leeway and let them shut down for an hour into the new year. It don't make sense to shut down all them places on the stroke of midnight. Some of them barkeeps, they'll just lock up and start shipping their stock out of town the next day. But some will want to defy the law and test me, and that's who I'm going after.
You're not going to give any saloon any leeway, Sheriff. You're going to enforce the law to the hilt. At the stroke of midnight, Puma County will be freed from its prison of misery and crime.
Grosbeak was staring, a sprig of mistletoe in hand, waiting to be attached to the kerosene lamp chandelier.
Well, give me the names of 10 good men I can deputize, men who believe the way you do. No, make it 20 able-bodied men.
I'm not going to rat on anyone, Sheriff. I'm a public servant, and don't forget it.
All right, I'll just pick 20 of the town's top people and swear them in, and if they won't swear in, they'll get themselves a trip to my iron-barred parlor.
Sheriff, those men won't be suited to the task. You want 20 good, law-abiding, God-fearing, prayerful cowboys for the task.
Well, that don't make a bit of sense. There ain't any Mr. Grosbeak.
Grosbeak scratched his chin foliage a little, then examined the mistletoe hanging from his chandelier.
You're a competent young man, and I have every confidence you'll enforce the law to a fairly well.
You got me there, sir. I never read nothing about a frothy well.
I'll forget it, Pickens.
I keep trying to get myself educated, so I'd sure like to know about these frothy whales.
A fare thee well is perfection. You are going to enforce county law perfectly.
Huh. Learn something new every day.
The town's one and only attorney, Timaeus Pharaoh Stokes, had no receptionist and could usually be found reading law books or the King James Version, and that is how I discovered him. I removed my beaver Stetson and bowed and scraped a little.
What is it, Pickens?
I got me the right to swear in a posse if I want, and even if them folks don't want to be sworn, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I'll be doing it then. I need me a posse New Year's Eve to shut down the saloons. There ain't one barkeep in town is going to close up and toss the key away. They're telling me they ain't going to obey the law, and tough luck to anyone that tries to stop them.
I see. Yes, that would keep the court dockets busy, I imagine. And since I'm the county attorney, I'd be pretty busy.
Well, I'm sworn to uphold the law, and I'm going to do her. I'm going to get me a posse, and it'll be all them fellers that pushed this law through, the dry law. So I'll swear them all in, and we'll get her done. I guess I'll start with you, Lawyer Stokes. I'm hereby swearing you in and telling you to report at 11 New Year's Eve and bring your shotgun and plenty of birdshot that'll clean off back bars real fine.
Lawyer Stokes stared, aghast.
I'm the county attorney, Sheriff. You can't swear me in. I'm immune.
Show me where it says that. Read me the chapter and verse, Lawyer Stokes.
Why, there are abundant precedents, young man. There's no need. I'll tell you flatly, I'm exempt. Won't show up, and not even a court order will budge me.
Lawyer Stokes, you lift your right hand and swear that you'll uphold the law and follow the directions of the head of the posse, namely me.
Stokes removed his spectacles, polished them, and restored them to their resting place just above the vast foliage of his beard.
You're a fine fellow, Sheriff, but a tad young and inexperienced. If you had a little more schooling and a little more sophistication, you'd see that this is a bad idea. You are a peace officer. Your primary task is to keep the peace, prevent bloodshed, prevent violence.
I thought it was to uphold the law without favor.
That's too, young man, but the law has a little give in it, and you need to be judicious in the ways you apply it.
Well, you're stuck. I'm swearing you into my posse, and you'll be there at my office ahead of midnight.
Hell. We'll freeze over first, Pickens.
That was pretty entertaining. I thought maybe I'd recruit the mayor of Doubtful, George Waller. He'd be a good man to have on the midnight posse. Waller ran a dry goods store and built caskets on the side, so I headed for the woodworking shop. Sure enough, there was the mayor, screwing brass hinges into the lid of a fancy rosewood coffin.
I don't know why you're here, Pickens. But you're up to no good, and the answer is no.
Merry Christmas, George. You building that for somebody?
Let's hope it's not you.
I reckon I got me a mess New Year's Eve.
Your mess, not my mess.
You in favor of going dry in Puma County?
Now don't pin me down, Sheriff. I refuse to be pinned down. There's virtues in it, and there's vices in it. The town might lose some business, but the town might gain some peace.
That's all I need. I'm swearing you in for my posse to close down all them thirst parlors. They're getting a little hot about it and saying they won't close, so we're just going to go ahead and enforce the new law. Now, George, lift that right paw and I'll swear you in, and then you show up armed at my office an hour before the new year starts.
Jumping Jehoshaphat, ain't you the card?
Raise that paw, George. I got the right to put any man I want into a posse.
I'm the mayor, and I'm proclaiming that Doubtful will stay wet until dawn. Law or no law? That suit you?
Raise that paw and swear in, George.
I'm not gonna show up, so forget it.
Guess my two cells are gonna get themselves to overflowing New Year's Eve.
Waller looked up from his coffin.
Over my dead body.
It sure was annoying. All the gents who were making Puma County dry didn't want to help out when it came to enforcing the new law. I tried two or three more, like the banker, Hubert Sanders, Doc Harrison, and George Maxwell, who ran the funeral parlor, and they just weaseled out. I'm not letting you off the hook, Sanders. I got the power to deputize you and put you in the posse, and I'm doing it. You show up at 11, New Year's Eve.
Oh, tut-tut, young fellow. I'm sure if you'd study on it, you'd find that your task is to keep the peace, and that law enforcement requires a degree of moderation. If you cause trouble, there'll be widows made, and grief, and sorrow, and Doubtful.
I'm not the one causing trouble. Them saloon men told me they won't obey the law and they'll fight.
Sanders peered steadily through his wire-framed half-glasses.
Moderation, my boy. That's how to win the day. One little step at a time. You'll do fine if you just close one saloon at a time. Just put one out of business once in a while, and next you know, Puma County will be dry and clean and upright. So what if it takes a few months? Use a little patience, boy, and maybe shut down one a week, and everyone will be happy.
The ones I shut down won't.
Well, they'll have time to move their bottles across the county line if you let them alone a bit.
They've had time to do that now, and I don't see any packing up and loading a wagon.
Of course not. I have loans outstanding to several of the saloons, mostly mortgages. We need to do all this moderately so these barkeeps have time to pay off their debts. I'd hate to foreclose on all those empty buildings.
Guess I should have seen how it lies around here. I didn't line up anyone for my midnight posse, and my threat to jail them if they failed to show up didn't faze them a bit. I was on my own. I headed into the jailhouse with my temper up and saw my deputy, Rusty Irons, fixing to practice on his new bugle. He'd been learning forward, gallop, and commence firing. You're quitting me too, you yellow-bellied punk. I should fire you now instead of letting you draw pay and then walk out the moment I need you.
Oh, that's fine.
What do you mean, fine?
I don't want to live in a dry county. I'm just staying on to do you a favor. I'm heading for Sweetwater on January 1, and when I get there, first thing I'll do is have me a glass of red eye.
I didn't have much of an argument against that. Fact is, I thought maybe I'd quit doubtful myself. Being a lawman in a dry county was about as interesting as watching an anthill. But I wasn't ready to forgive. Well, you could stay long enough to help me shut down the saloons, but you weaseled out on me.
Why get shot at for this? There's some laws that ain't worth spit.
You swore an oath to uphold all the laws. So did I.
That's why I'm quitting.
I couldn't stay mad at red-haired Rusty for long. The man had been a good deputy, brave and ready to pitch in whenever there was trouble. And now he was quitting, not because of cowardice, but because he didn't want to enforce a law that he opposed. I didn't like the law either. I thought it was full of good intentions, but it would cause more harm than good. All them temperance people, they wanted a peaceful town, quiet and sleepy and safe. And they wanted families kept secure and people not to be impaired. And maybe the merchants wanted cowboys to spend their payroll in the stores and restaurants rather than in the saloons. And there were all the churchy ones who thought Doubtful was the sinfulest place in the West, and they were determined to rid the community of everything that catered to appetites. There were some that couldn't stand it when someone else was having a good time, relaxing with friends. Prigs, that's what they were. Just couldn't stand the thought of anyone enjoying himself. Most of them would be sorry someday when Doubtful turned to dust and everyone moved away. Them temperance folks, they just couldn't live in an imperfect world. Well, it was coming to a head now. In a few days, no one living in Puma County could sell or possess spirituous drinks, and there weren't no loopholes in that county ordinance neither. And the fines were stiff, too. The county supervisors meant business, and if someone tried to get along just by paying a few little fines now and then, they were in for a surprise.
Where do you reckon they'll all go? Those cowboys get a big thirst, and they sure gonna take that thirst somewhere, and it ain't gonna be Doubtful. And they ain't gonna buy a sarsaparilla at the ice cream parlor. There's no town anywhere within 40 miles, but maybe one or another will spring up on the county line. I've seen places like that. Bunch of shanties, green lumber, tar paper shacks, doing business right on the county line.
That and bootleggers. If I stick around here, I'll probably be chasing bootleggers halfway to Laramie and back.
You could just wait and see. Just leave the new law alone, and in a week or so, the supervisors, they'll repeal it, and Puma stays wet.
Gotta keep my oath of office.
You are a hard man to work for.
I eyed the empty jail cells, studied the log, and concluded it had been a quiet December afternoon, and I wasn't needed there. I'm going to Saloon Row.
I'll send a coffin.
I bundled up. I could deal with winter cold, as long as the wind wasn't howling. When it blew, nothing I wore kept the cold at bay. It didn't matter what I bought. It was no good in Arctic wind. Saloon Row was clear over on the other side of town and was the first thing that cowboys saw when they were riding in from all the ranches over there. It prospered, kept in business by a couple hundred cowboys, as well as Doubtful people. Some of the joints were rough, and some were pussycat quiet. Most of the joints were quiet most nights, unless some wild man got liquored up and started a brawl, and then I filled my jailhouse. I headed for the quietest, darkest, and most dangerous joint on the row, the Lizard Lounge. It was usually lit by a single kerosene lamp and was patronized by males who didn't like to talk. It was also patronized by people with no visible means of employment. Mysterious males who drifted in and out of Doubtful, doing things beyond fathoming. It was owned by someone called George Roman, only in Doubtful he was called George the Roman, and was even more quiet than his saloon. I went in, entering a room of scanty heat and thick gloom. Roman, sallow and bag-eyed, studied me. You, closing up at midnight, New Year?
I don't announce my plans, Sheriff.
Then you aren't. If you intended to shut down, you'd say so.
You're very intelligent, aren't you, Sheriff?
My ma, she thought I was carrying a lot of wood in my head.
You're a lot smarter than I am, Sheriff.
I want to know what your plans are. I have two missions. One is to keep the peace. The other is to put the law into effect.
Contradictions.
You could stay open. Peddle other stuff.
I've thought about it.
The rest of the saloons. They're staying open after midnight.
How should I know?
I think you know.
I hear you're recruiting a posse. All the bright lights. Empty out the churches and give them all a badge.
Where'd you hear that?
Sheriff, you could recruit the whole town. Every able-bodied man. Give them all shotguns, and you wouldn't be able to shut down the saloons. So forget it. Go to bed at midnight. You want a fight? You'll get a fight. A bad, drunken, whooping fight with lots of lead flying.
That was the longest speech I'd ever heard issuing from Roman. Thanks, Roman.
You have no smarts, Pickens. Get some somewhere.
That's what my ma always told me. But she always said I could make up for it by practicing the virtues.
Roman smiled. He was missing two lower incisors.
I let myself out. I blinked at the light. The lizard was so dark that even an overcast December sky seemed blinding. I wondered what sort of men preferred to drink in the middle of a cave. Saloon Row wasn't at its peak yet, but it was always busy, 24 hours a day. I headed for MacGyver's Saloon, across the street, the only one owned by a woman. Maybe she'd close it down. A gust of wind burrowed into my coat, hurrying me across frozen muck and dried dung in the road. MacGyver's was a bright place, but grossly overheated by a big coal stove. It would take little time before I had to undo my coat to keep from sweating in there. Sure enough, I walked into a blast of hot, dry air with a little acrid coal smoke mixed in for atmosphere. Mrs. MacGyver's wasn't tending bar, but was sitting at a faro table at the rear, the chandelier spilling yellow lamplight over her bun of chestnut hair.
I'm glad you came by, Sheriff. We're staying open.
Against the law?
The law is an ass. Just stay out of here New Year's Eve. I can't guarantee that you'll feel comfortable in here if you wander in, and that goes double for the posse men.
Word sure gets around.
Don't try it. Don't come in, and if you do, wear armor.
Doesn't it matter to you that the ordinance was passed proper and it's valid law?
Certainly it matters. It makes me want to hang the supervisors by their nuts and gut their wives.
You could pack up. Puma County isn't that big. Set up shop in Sweetwater.
I like it here. I even like you.
She eyed me, shuffled the deck without eyeing it, and smiled.
Like you a lot, Cotton. You just mind your manners. You're not going to take my livelihood from me. This is my living. I don't want to shoot your nuts off.
There's some that say I don't have any.
Want me to find out?
I guess I'll have to shut you down. I'll start with you. 1 minute after midnight.
Sure you will. You'll walk in here with 20 storekeepers and accountants, all of them scared shitless, and if I don't meekly nod my head and kiss your hand, you'll blow away my back bar with birdshot, and I'll be out a few clams.
Word does get around, man.
It sure does. New Year's Eve may just be the most fun we ever had here in Doubtful Puma County, Wyoming. I can't hardly wait. 20 merchants with wet pants, most of them half deaf from the shotgun blasts. I'm delighted I'll be first. We'll settle the whole issue right here. They'll all cut and run, and there'll only be you and me. I live upstairs. You come up, and I'll show you my lithographs.
I intended to hang some mistletoe from the top of the iron door leading to my two jail cells, but thought better of it. I gave up on hanging it in the outhouse, and also hanging it over my desk.
But I did finally plant some at the top of the rack that held the shotguns and rifles. You never knew what might come in handy. A little before Christmas, I got a surprise visitor. Eve Grosbeak had never set foot in the place, and I had never expected her to. She belonged in a different world. She could sit in her comfortable Northside home and run her women's temperance union and never know what life was really like along Saloon Row or some of the alleys behind it. But here she was, stamping fresh snow off her little boots and shaking snow off her bonnet and scarf. She eyed the room, the gloomy and smelly cells beyond that iron-barred door, and finally focused on me.
Ma'am?
I wasn't very good at polite, but I'd work at it some.
Yes, this is about what I thought. We'll fill those cells New Year's Eve.
Doesn't seem likely, ma'am.
Don't ma'am me. It makes you sound servile. Call me Eve. It was just a happy coincidence that I was named Eve, and now I'm Evening Grosbeak, just like the bird.
You look like one too, Eve. Nice big beak.
I had a feeling that I shouldn't have said that.
Well, yes, young man, that's sweet of you. Now, about Prohibition.
It's a problem, ma'am.
Aren't you going to invite me to sit down?
Wouldn't you prefer a tour of the jail? No one's in there sleeping with his pants off.
She stared and then nodded. I grabbed the big key ring and led her to the barred door, opened it, and invited her in.
Two cells. Enough for Pima County, unless there's trouble.
Don't you ever wash it down? The smell!
Well, it's a bad smell, all right. But it just makes them want to get out of here faster and makes them less willing to get stuck in here. So the smell's a good thing.
But surely you attend to sanitation.
Well, only when we're forced to, ma'am. The idea is to make a citizen's experience in here something he wishes to avoid the rest of his days. My ma, she used to say that a few days in the pokey cured my dad for good.
I see.
Not much to see. Just some iron bars, metal shelves to be uncomfortable on. Not so bad, though. I've slept here a few times in snowstorms. It won't match a hotel bed, though. Now, I could use some advice. I was thinking of hanging some mistletoe right there over the outer door, but wasn't sure that was a good idea. What do you think?
Mistletoe? Door?
Right there.
But who'd want to kiss anyone in here?
I see your point, ma'am.
I let her out, and she settled herself in the chair beside my desk.
Well, that's where your tax dollar goes, ma'am.
Call me Eve, you young rascal. Oh, you're a card, all right. No wonder no laws are enforced in Pima County.
Oh, that stung. And from the supervisor's wife, too.
Well, get on with it.
I've heard about your little posse. I've also heard that every respectable male in Doubtful is lily-livered. That means coward, doesn't it? I come from the East, and I'm not sure about all these local terms. Lily-livered sounds good, though. Nothing but lily-livered males in Doubtful, including your remaining deputy, who is about to cut and run.
Well, I wouldn't say lily-livered is a very good way to describe him, ma'am.
Well, you're a real man. You're not cutting and running. You're the only real man in town. You deserve to wear pants. You're the only man in town with the equipment.
I do? I haven't ever given it a thought, ma'am.
It's Eve, my boy. Now, what are you planning for New Year's?
Right now, I'm treed, ma'am.
I'll fix you up, boy.
The best advice I've got is to deal with it gradual. Forget shutting down every saloon at midnight. Close them one at a time over the next days or weeks and keep the peace.
Oh, that's what cowards want to do. That's why you're the only real, true man in Doubtful. You're not going to do that. You're sworn to uphold the law, and you're going to do it. We're going to turn Pima County into desert. We're going to abolish spirits of all sorts, now and forever. We're going to spare little girls the shame of a drunkard father. We're going to rescue families from drunkard mothers. We're going to make everyone in Pima County a better citizen. We're going to close the jail because it won't be needed. Almost every despicable crime in the sorry catalog of human folly rises from spirits. It's the devil incarnate, young man. So no, we won't be moderate about driving the devil out of Pima County. If men won't do it, then women can. We're better suited anyway, being female. You can join us or not, but we're going to do it. The ladies will proceed.
That's all I'm going to tell you.
I think you'd better tell me, Eve.
Now I'm Eve again, eh? All right. As long as I'm Eve to you and you don't use that lickspittle ma'am word again, I'll tell you. Now, you listen close and get that jail ready, because the Women's Temperance Union is gonna fill it to overflowing!
I'm not quite catching on, Eve.
Women are bulletproof.
Uh-huh. My ma used to tell me that women get notions.
Once we achieve full equality, we won't be bulletproof, you know. We'll be like men, only smarter and better.
I sure didn't know what to make of all that. So I just sulked in my chair and waited, knowing it was going to be bad.
If lily-livered men won't do it, women will. We're organized and ready. When midnight New Year's Eve rolls around, we'll attack.
You can't do it with brooms, ma'am.
There you go, saying ma'am. You need some manners.
She leaned over and touched my knee familiarly. As far as I could remember, no female had tapped my knee since I'd come into manhood.
Not even the most corrupt and craven and debased male in Doubtful will shoot women.
I wouldn't be too sure of it. My deputy, Rusty, he told me he'd as soon shoot a woman as a man.
Well then, I admire Rusty. He sees us as equals. Now, the good souls in the Women's Temperance Union have divided into three woman militias. Three militia women for each saloon. Here's how it'll play out. At midnight, we'll enter, two of us with shotguns, one woman with a revolver to cover the rear and pick off snipers. We'll give the saloon man 2 or 3 minutes to shut down or not. If not, our birdshot'll clean out the glass on the back bar and not a soul will fight back. They're all as lily-livered as the town's businessmen.
I'm not sure that's a bright idea, ma'am. Eve.
You're a slow learner.
Well, that's what my ma always said. But she said I make up for it. I'm quick in other ways.
I bet you are. I can just see it in you.
You'll get shot. You'll get sued.
Oh, fiddle. Worrywart, that's you. Tergiversizing never won the day.
Whatever that means. Look, Mrs. Grosbeak, these ladies, they walk into these saloons toting the shotguns, and they're fixing to break a lot of glass. First thing you know, some gent walks right up and takes your guns away, and that's that. And if they shoot in a crowded saloon, there'll be glass and birdshot, and people are going to get hurt, some real bad. If you gals show up outside some saloon armed like that, I'll just have to hustle you off to one of them cells there.
But you recruited men to do the same thing.
No, ma'am. We'd move all them people outside and then bust the glass afterward.
You don't like women.
Well, a good gelding's easier to ride. I'll get all them saloons shut down one way or another. I don't like it. If you think life in Puma County will get better after all them bars are silent, you better think again. If you think that this law of yours is going to make a lot of families happier, guess again. There's some that shouldn't touch a drop. Some that get mean or crazy, but keeping the bar shut won't help one bit. They'll get their whiskey one way or another. You shut down here, and there's going to be a lot of smuggling going on, and people will bring stuff in by the cartload. If I could talk you into it, I'd say repeal that new law before it gets started up.
Ah, typical male.
I got to deal with those saloons every day, and it's easier than trying to track down smugglers and little country cabins that get turned into a place to liquor up. That's more dangerous and more trouble.
I knew you'd find excuses.
If I had a good posse, I'd get her done fast. I don't. You have to be patient. Beginning at midnight, January 1, I'll be the only man with a badge in the whole blamed county.
You could deputize me.
That sure is an interesting idea. She was up and headed for the gun rack.
That's mistletoe up there, isn't it?
That's for anyone who wants to kiss some guns.
You come give me a Christmas kiss.
I don't think so, ma'am.
You come here and give me a good smack on the lips. You're the only man in the county who's not lily-livered, and you just barely make it.
I hesitated. She looked oddly delicious.
Come on now. I'm not leaving here until I get a real Christmas greeting. If you want me to stand here until 2 a.m, just ignore me.
I couldn't remember what my ma used to say about deals like this, but I figured the sooner I got it over with, the better. So I sort of sidled over to the gun rack. She was waiting there,
And as soon as I got within shooting range, she grabbed me, delivered a big smoochy kiss on the lips, smiled, and let go.
I like you.
I like you too, ma'am.
We'll get along fine. You just need a real woman in your life.
I couldn't think of a response to that. But she just pulled her scarf tight and headed into the winter outside. That sure was something. I thought maybe I should deputize half a dozen women and let them replace Rusty. Might be good for the county. It was time to quit. I lowered the wicks until the lamps blewed out and headed for Belle's boarding house. I had a front upstairs room with a good view of Wyoming Street. On a sheriff's salary, it was all I could afford, but I didn't have anyone to look after anyway, so a room on the main street suited me well enough. No sooner did I enter my boarding house than I knew I was in trouble. There was big old boisterous Belle in the parlor off the front door, and she'd gotten the two-burner lamp all fixed up with mistletoe.
Come here, you big lunk. That mistletoe's not for you. It's for me. Give me a big one, Buster.
I already got my Christmas kiss.
Belle was built along the lines of a bowling ball and had a voice to match.
I sure wish Christmas was over.
No, you don't. New Year's Eve's gonna be worse. Now, here's my motto. Lips that don't kiss mine can't live in Belle's boarding house.
She stood there, head cocked, her blonde hair inches below the dangling mistletoe. I knew I couldn't get out of it. I would have to surrender. I would have to work up my courage and do her, and I'd have to do her proper.
Maybe I need another landlady.
Oh. She wrapped me in her commodious arms and kissed me proper. I sure didn't know what to do, and that was getting downright embarrassing. I was supposed to be tough, commanding, and on top of things, but I was spending the season wondering how to resolve the mess. If I had my druthers, I'd see the new prohibition law repealed. If that couldn't happen, I'd like to bring on the dry times real gradual, one saloon at a time. And if that couldn't happen, I'd just like to get Critter out of the livery barn and ride into the sunset and to hell with Puma County. But I wouldn't do that. My ma, she always told me to stick things out and not quit just when things got difficult. So come midnight, New Year's Eve, I'd still be sheriff and still enforcing the law as best I could. Which reminded me that it wasn't just the saloons on Saloon Row I needed to shut down. The cat houses all served hooch in friendly little side rooms and did a lot of business that way. Maybe I could get those shut down proper. The next day I bundled up against some real serious cold howling down from the north, pulled a woolen cap over my ragged hair, and plunged into the gale. Whew! It was blowing so hard that everything was swinging. Store signs rattled. Tumbleweeds rolled across doubtful streets and piled up against walls and fences. A man could hardly keep warm, even in a heated building. In my sheriff's office, the jail was cold as a tomb, and anywhere more than 10 feet from the coal stove was Siberia. Rusty was out patrolling somewhere, or maybe he was in bed with 3 quilts on top. Who could say? It wasn't going to be a big day for crime in doubtful Wyoming. I let the wind blow me down Wyoming Street to Saloon Row and then cut south a block, past an alley, to another row of houses, their lamps and signs chattering in the gale. I thought I'd start with Denver Sally. She sort of reminded me of my ma, all cheerful and moralistic. I wasn't sure who'd be up in the middle of the morning. Working girls usually slept all morning. But all houses were always open for business, so someone would be up. I entered and found myself in a homey parlor with samplers on the walls and crocheted pillows everywhere. This was my favorite parlor because it reminded me of my ma's. There was a fine sampler done in delicate needlework with a red motto across the top, "Better laid than never." Denver Sally's was famous for its plain girls. Any cowboy who wanted a plain girl with an underslung chin or varicose veins or a pear-shaped figure knew where to find one. But Sally's was also the home of the Argentine bombshell. They did stuff differently down there in Argentina. I waited in the deep silence of the morning, in the half light of December, And then indeed Denver herself appeared in a wrapper.
Hi there, Sheriff. Come for a bang?
You sure have nice ladies upstairs, Sally, but no, we got to parley a little.
Well, I should charge you for the time.
Well, this here is law business, not Tomcat business. You know, Sally, I've got to shut down your bar room on January 1.
Crap.
Yeah, I know how you feel, but it's the law and I ain't got a choice.
Look, it's only a few bottles in the side room, and it's on the house if the John gives us some business.
You've read the law, Sally.
I had it read to me.
So I got to do it.
It'll wreck my business. Pickens, you just leave us alone and we'll stay real quiet.
It won't wreck your business, Sally.
It will. There's a lot of men. You can't get them out of their pants until you pour a couple down their gullet. We've had some come in, look over the girls, start out the door. And then we offer them a quick drink, and it's a mind changer. A drink or two turns some knock-kneed Willie into a stud horse.
And then you get some business?
Business? Sometimes a couple of drinks will turn some timid little cowboy into the world's greatest lover boy. And then we collect for a week.
Well, maybe you could make your ladies more enticing?
What are you trying to do? Insult us? Our merchandise is the best in Doubtful. I run them all through my personal coaching. I got classes I give to incoming ladies. Before they've graduated from the Denver Sally School of Amatory Arts, they're whiz-bangs.
I just hate to do it, Sally, but New Year's Eve is it. If you have a quarrel, take it to the county supervisors. They're the ones passed the new law, not me. I just am stuck with making it happen. And that's going to mean pension violators, and that means trials and fines and all the rest, which I don't like any, but can't help.
You're standing under the mistletoe, Sheriff. Guess that means I gotta act.
No, damn it, Sally, I'm just here for a palaver.
Is that what you call it? Well, I'll give you a palaver you'll never forget.
She zeroed in on me, grabbed me in her arms, and bust me good and proper. I didn't mind that one bit, but it was the wrong kind of business. It took me a long time to extricate myself, and I thought I was being smothered until I came up for air, but eventually I got loose. She wiped my face with a handkerchief.
See what you're missing, Sheriff?
You don't have to tell me about it, Denver. My ma, she always said...
You and your ma. Now you sit down in that horsehair couch and listen to me, and tuck your shirt back in.
I did as I was told. She settled across from me in the deep quiet.
Me and the rest of the madams here, we've been talking about this, and we're not going to cave in. We're going to serve booze, law or no law. It's the only way to get some men out of their pants. So you just better get used to it. What's more, if this county tries to pressure us, we'll go on strike. Every cat house in Doubtful will shut down until we can serve a picker-upper to them fellas that can't get it up and running.
There's a lot of people on the north side of town who'd say a strike is the best thing that could happen.
That's what all those pious bastards want to think. But here's how it goes, Sheriff. If you shut down the saloons and the parlors of paradise go on strike, you just ain't gonna have any business making a dime in Doubtful. There's maybe 300 cowboys and ranchers out there, and they come into Doubtful to spend all their pay. And they just plain won't be coming here anymore. Sure, we get some of their pay, but so does every merchant in town.
Strike?
Strike, idiot. We close our legs and time shut.
But Sally, that would be dumb.
We'll pick up and go. No reason we stick here. It's not far to the next county. And we'll get twice the business.
But you're licensed and taxed here.
You're thick-headed, just like they say, Pickens. Now either drop your pants or head out the door.
It wasn't an easy decision, but I finally decided I'd head out the door and maybe palaver with some more of them ladies. If it was true they was going on strike, I'd better tell the supervisors about it. Them women were the biggest source of tax revenue for Doubtful and Puma County, and if they quit and moved, the whole blasted county would likely dry up and blow away. It was one of the shortest days of the year. Even midday, the shadows were long. On this overcast day, there was only twilight. I found myself next at Mrs. Goodrich's Gates of Heaven. It was the costliest joint in Doubtful, with nice acrobatic ladies and a few who smelled sweet, too. Mrs. Goodrich required cleanliness,
and the girls had to get into a hot tub once every 2 weeks. She was sitting at a table in her bar, also located to one side of the parlor, knitting a purple scarf.
You were over here, dearie?
Word travels fast.
When a sheriff sets foot in the district, everyone knows in 2 minutes.
I'm letting all you nice gals know that you've got to shut down your bars on New Year's. She smiled, her needles clacking, and said nothing. You gonna comply all right? She just smiled away. I'll be checking.
Oh, you dear boy, why don't you just stop in? I'll give you a free token and you can begin the new year with a whoop and a holler.
Hey, that's real kind of you, ma'am, but I'll be on duty.
So will we, my boy.
I kind of have the feeling that it ain't gonna happen, ma'am. And if it don't, I may have to pinch you.
Oh, that's the sweetest thing you've ever said, Sheriff.
This sure was getting nowhere fast. I guess I'll have to bring in my posse then. I was kind of hoping you'd cooperate.
Well, we are in the cooperating business, sweetheart.
Well, what about them other gals? Are they gonna cooperate?
Oh, we all love to cooperate, dearie. Now, you move a little left until you're under that chandelier, and I'll give you a sample.
I glanced upward, seeing a 3-lamp fixture sporting some fresh mistletoe. Oh, no. I'll get out of here. But too late. She loomed next to me, cheer radiating from her mottled face, and clasped her long arms right around me and kissed me on both cheeks, the nose, the mouth, and was starting down my neck and chest when I wiggled free. I collected my hat and backed away.
Oh, you have a beautiful posse. You come riding in any time. I just love sheriff's posses.
I felt dumber than an ox, but there wasn't nothing I could do except retreat from there. I stepped into the mean December wind, decided I had enough bordello visits for a while, and headed for my sheriff's office in the hot stove. I couldn't embrace the hot stove, but it would have to do, I thought.
Where you been?
Talking to the sporting gals. They ain't helping me any.
Well, what do you expect? You're cutting into their business.
Well, the way they tell it, you can hardly get a man out of his pants until you're giving him a drink or two. It sure makes them cowboys look like pansies. But that's what having a saddle pound on your parts all day does to you.
And that's why I'm not a cowboy.
Rusty, I want you to go out and pull down every sprig of mistletoe in Doubtful. That includes every store, every saloon, every cat house, every boarding house, and anywhere else it's hanging. I've declared war on mistletoe.
War on mistletoe?
I've been kissed more times today than in the last 20 years.
And that's a problem?
Well, it is when I'm on duty.
I'll tell you what, Cotton. I'll go on a mistletoe patrol, but I'm going to buy some and hand it out to every blessed soul in Doubtful. And if I get enough mistletoe strung up in Doubtful, no one will notice it when we start shutting down the saloons.
We, Rusty?
Yeah, damn it. I'll stick. We'll keep the lid on Doubtful.
Yeah, don't you come near me with that mistletoe, Rusty, or I'll throw your ass into the cage.
Oh, say, Consuela Bowler's in town and wants to see you. He's at the hotel and says he'll be there all day.
Bully Bowler, as he was called, was a big-time rancher south of Doubtful. Did he say what he wanted?
Yeah, Cotton, he did. He doesn't like your plans for New Year's Eve.
Well, so what's he gonna do about them?
You better find out for yourself, Cotton. He was talking about hanging the county supervisors unless that dry law gets repealed real fast. And you know what, Cotton? He meant it.
Bully Bowler was actually the manager of an outlying ranch owned by Britons. His name was honestly earned. He was a massive man, 50 pounds heavier than me, and quick to make full use of his strength. He had massive fists, a thick neck, and a thicker skull. He ruled supreme out of his spread by simply pounding any cowboy who didn't toe the line. Now he was in Doubtful, making noises I didn't want to hear. I donned my overcoat and hat and plunged into the icy wind, headed for the Wyoming Hotel. Some said the hotel was the only good place between Laramie and Douglas, with 2 sheets on every bed and a tablecloth on every table. I wouldn't have known the difference and didn't care. But I cared about Bully Bowler's threats, and that's what took me over there. Bully never traveled alone, and I found him with 4 of his skinny cowboys sitting at a table in the dining room smoking cigars.
You were looking for me?
Bully tapped some ashes over the remains of a pancake, smiled, and nodded. He said nothing, making me wait, but I didn't press the man and stood quietly.
One of Bully's boys sipped coffee, looking a little smirky.
Well, I guess I was mistaken. Someone told me you wanted to see me.
I turned to leave.
Pickens, stay put.
Bully still offered no explanation. I waited a moment and started to leave. The hell with it. But a massive paw, lightning fast, caught my belt and yanked me back to the table.
Now, Sheriff, you listen, even if you're wetting your pants.
Bowler let go of my belt just before I was about to do something about it.
The boys are coming into town New Year's Eve. They're going to have a fine time. Every ranch hand in the area, 300, 400, in for a whoop-de-doo. You ain't going to shut down the place.
I'm glad you think so.
Because you won't want anything bad to happen to your supervisors.
I just kept quiet.
Because that's what's going to happen.
Well, thanks for letting me know, Bowler.
I ain't done with you yet, you little fart.
I didn't think so.
That dry law, it's going to be repealed. And if it ain't, you ain't going to enforce it. That law's dead as poison wolf.
You going to repeal it?
I already did.
I haven't seen it published yet. Supervisors do it?
Pickens, I always heard you're thick between the ears.
If it's not repealed, why do you say it is?
That law's gone away, sonny boy. Gone. That's what I'm telling you. Now beat it.
Just your say-so, is it, Bowler?
I'm tired of you.
Guess I'd better protect you from them temperance women. You better stop in my jail, and I'll lock you up safe and sound.
That started the crew laughing. But Bully Bowler stuck out an arm and grabbed my shirt and yanked me forward. I hadn't seen it coming. Then the manager's iron arm shoved me backward over the table. I landed on the far side, sprang up, and bulled into Bowler. I hammered at the man. Bully Bowler simply grinned, let me discover what I faced, and then lowered the boom. Two pops with those ham hands. A knee to the groin, couple of elbows. Then I was sprawled on the dining room carpet, discovering hurts I never knew I could enjoy. But Bully didn't quit. A few kicks with his boots caught my ribs, and that was the signal for his four henchmen to join the act. Every time I tried to get up or fight, all five of them got in their licks. And I got the arithmetic lesson and quit.
Some sheriff you are, Pickens.
I was more interested in all the ways I hurt than in my reputation.
Give me that rag.
One of the henchmen handed him a tablecloth. Swiftly, Bully wrapped me in it and yanked another cloth from another table and wrapped that around me until I was wrapped in a winding sheet that was tied tight with anything handy, including scarves and belts. I was as helpless in my cloth prison as if I'd been lowered into a grave. My arms were pinned so tight I couldn't get any purchase on anything, and my legs were wrapped too close that I couldn't even bend them.
Let's show this town what kind of sheriff it's got.
One of the ranch hands pulled the pins out of a hinge and freed the wooden door into the kitchen. They loaded me on the door, and the pallbearers lifted the catafalque and marched into the bitter cold. One of those hands settled my hat on my chest as the cortege proceeded up Wyoming Street, through the heart of town, past the shops and eateries, straight up the one street where no one would miss the show, and toward the courthouse square, my sheriff's office and jail. It might be December, but people flooded to windows and opened doors to view the horrible sight.
Is he dead?
Might as well be.
I eyed Mayor Waller and then spotted Turk, the livery owner, and watched Hubert Sanders watching the spectacle from his bank window. I saw Leonard Silver, owner of the Emporium, peer from his door and spotted Doc Harrison studying the parade from the beanery. And there was nothing I could do. If they wanted a sheriff who strode through town with a six-gun at his hip, a sheriff whose frown stopped little boys from tossing firecrackers at dogs, whose squint deterred burglars, whose beckoning finger corralled drunks, whose bold gaze intimidated cowboys bent on shooting up the town for sport, they could only be dismayed. The young man they'd employed to keep the lid on Doubtful and keep all the he-cats and she-dogs at bay, namely me, was being hauled through town like dead meat. The message was clear.
Doubtful was at the mercy of the ranchers and cowboys, and they intended to celebrate their New Year's Eve exactly as they always had. And if there was any trouble, they'd show the citizens of Doubtful just who owned Puma County.
Come in right now!
Women emerged from doors, saw the awful spectacle, and herded their children inside. The carriage horse whinnied and reared, a spectacle too much for its equine temperament. Bully led the parade, smiling cheerfully, but otherwise not acknowledging the crowds, while his four ranch hands carried the door, one at each corner.
What you doing in the winding sheet, Pickens?
I could think of no answer, so I kept quiet. My ma used to say that there was no way out of a winding sheet. Maybe they'd let me go.
Send me a postcard!
I still hurt, and the cold was reaching me. I couldn't wiggle enough to keep warm. And still, Bully's parade marched onward, turned, heading now toward Saloon Row, the very blocks where I, Sheriff Pickens, always walked tall and subdued rough men in a rough neighborhood. This was going to be the most painful of all. I'd kept order there mostly because troublemakers knew I'd whip them one way or another. But now every lowlife and Doubtful was going to see me wrapped tight in tablecloths. By the time we reached Saloon Row, every barfly and tavern keeper was on hand. Somehow, word had buzzed ahead, and the show had arrived. I spotted a few lowlifes I'd thrown into my iron cages a time or two, some for public intoxication, some for threatening with weapons, some for brawling. And now, they were enjoying the sight of their nemesis bound helplessly on a door. What sort of message was all this? I resisted a sudden impulse to resign and load up Critter with all my worldly goods and head for Argentina or someplace. Bully Bowler steered his pallbearers toward Lover's Lane, as some called it, and there the ladies flocked to the windows to watch.
Looks like you could use a drink, Sheriff.
Some waved, some blew kisses. Most of them giggled, and a few flashed a little flesh. There was nothing like seducing a man tied up tighter than a hog going to market. But eventually, the cortege slid past the body houses. Bully Bowler headed for the sheriff's office, either tired of the sport or content that he had delivered an indelible message to the county supervisors. In any case, Bully and his boys entered the sheriff's office, dumped me on the cold floor, stole one set of jail keys, and departed with the hotel door. Not a word was spoken. Not a warning, not a lecture, not a joke.